Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So we do like to thank you for tuning in and being a part of this broadcast or blogcast. I'll be sitting in for Dr. Michael Jackson, who was scheduled for this evening, and he had a funeral to preach last minute, so he did want me to let you know that he will be coming on in a nearby Wednesday. He will be coming on. He's excited to come on and to share the word of God, a young man who is on fire for the Lord. So we are anxiously waiting when he returns. But until we, until that happens, I'm going to sit in for him this evening, and I'm going to need you to be a part of this interactive Bible study. For those of you who are listening for the first time, what is an interactive Bible study? That means that you have an opportunity to call in and participate. Amen. And calling in, you would the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. And once you call in, you can be a part of this interactive Bible study. Just hit number one if you can. If we do not hear you, we see you on. Oftentimes, many will come on and they will have their microphones are not muted, and we can hear everything in the background. So on this end, we will kind of mute you until you hit the number one. So otherwise, if you are not, if you don't have anything in the background, then your mic is open and all you have to do is just speak. But again, if you speak and we cannot hear you, just hit the number one and it lets us know that you have something to share. Amen. We also like to remind you that there is an archive for everything that is done on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and then you go into the archives and you type in, "We can begin again." We can begin again. Once you type that in, you can pull up any of the archives that we have shared with over the number of years. I think there's like about 340 some odd messages. Amen. So you can go and pull up any one of those. It's a good way to share the gospel with a friend. Amen. If you don't have an opportunity to get to church to hear the word of God, you can come on to the archives and hear one of your speakers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're going to move forward. I want to have prayer. And then after we have prayer, we're going to move on into the word. And I'm going to do a little something different this evening. So I'll share that with you. We have a number of people that we have been, we would like to have prayed for that we have in prayer. Excuse me, I'm trying to get it over a cold. And those that we have on our prayer line is James Hobbs, Diane, Deborah, Corey, Sean, Stuart Hawthorne, Yolonia, Alitha Cornell. We have Trinita. We have, there's a number of others that we have that I don't have presently, but the Lord knows our heart and he knows everything that we're going to utter even before we utter it. So we're going to lift them up in prayer. And as we're praying, if you have someone that you would like to lift up, you know, publicly or privately, you can share that now or we move forward because God does know our heart. He knows what we utter even before we even speak it. Amen. Father, we thank you for this hour. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because it's an hour that we have never experienced, but yet you've given us an opportunity to be able to come together and share your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your word would go forth, Heavenly Father, that it would spread, Heavenly Father, to the ear gates, and it would spread to the hearts, Heavenly Father. And those, Heavenly Father, that may not know you in the pardons of their sins may learn a new word of you, Heavenly Father, and they would apply it to their hearts, to their walk, and whatever they do. We know, Father, that we cannot do anything without you. So we ask that of you, Father. We bow, we worship you, Heavenly Father, and we praise you for who you are. Father, we ask that you would cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ, Heavenly Father, as we claim protection, not only, Heavenly Father, over the airways right now, but we claim protection over our family, over our finances, over our homes, over our spirits, over our soul and body. Father, we surrender ourselves to you completely right now in the name of Jesus, Father. In every area of our lives, Father, we surrender to you. Father, we affirm that you are the true and living God, and you are the one, Heavenly Father, who's above all and every name that we can even utter, and that name is Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would give us a sound mind as we hear your word, Heavenly Father. Lord and Father, we come against the spirit of fear. We come in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, the Son of the living God, Father. We come against worry. We come against illness, Heavenly Father, that we have in our family, even those, Heavenly Father, that we know about, Heavenly Father. We come against that in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. You have the authority and the power, Heavenly Father, over the enemy, Father, and we pray this in the name of Jesus, that no weapons that are formed against them shall prosper. Father, we thank you for who you are, Father. We cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out peace. We cry out joy. We cry out prosperity to every member of our family, Father, and we just say glory name of Jesus, Father. It is by faith that we walk, Father, and not by sight. We claim it. We declare it. We decree it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. As we move on forward, we'd like to let you we are going into the scripture, and it is coming from 1 John 4, and it's 4:7-13. But we're going to do a little twist on that, because as we look at this, the title of the talk this evening is Christian Soul Care. Christian Soul Care. And when 1 John, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth knoweth not God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love." Amen. For God is love. And so as we look at this, for God is love, when I was putting this together, I started thinking about all those that we know who are ill. For some reason, this time and in this season, so many are getting sick. So many are getting ill. So many are having so many complications that we don't even know what's going on. All we can do is go in prayer. And so when I was looking at this, and I'm coming from, and there's an author by the name of David Benner, and he talks about Christian care, the love of Christian care, and how we are to look at Christian care. And he goes on to talk about the care of souls, the care of souls. And under the original Latin form, he calls it cura animarum, cura animarum. And what that means is the care of. So when he's looking at that, he's talking about that when we go and when we meet others who are going through something, that we have to watch how we minister to them. We have to watch how we minister to them. And he goes on here to say that, and he talks about, he says, cura is the most commonly translated, and as I said, cura means care. And it contains the idea of both care and cure. Let me say that again. It contains the idea of both care and cure. See, so care refers, when we break that down, care refers to actions designed to support the well-being or something or someone. Care is an action that is designed by you or I, as we come in Christian love, to support the well-being of something or someone. Amen? It is the care that we provide for the well-being of that individual. And cure, it goes on to say that cure refers to an action designed to cure. Now, that's care. Cure refers to an action that is designed to restore well-beings that have been lost. Let me say that again. Care refers to an action. It refers to an action designed to support. Now get that word, support the well-being of something or someone. Cure refers to actions designed to restore well-being that has been lost. So there's care and there is cure. So when he goes in and he looks at this and he talks about the Christian as the historical vehicle of the church, and he says the Christian church has historically embraced both meanings of cura and has understood soul care to involve nurture and support as well as healing and restoration. So when one is going out to cure, we have to make sure that we are not, he's saying that we're not focusing on just one area of the person that we're trying to cure. If there is something that someone is going through, it's saying that we focus on that, whatever they're going through. But what he is arguing is, he's saying that we don't focus on that one person, that we focus on the whole person. Not just one part of that person, but we focus on the whole person for healing and restoration.
Amen.
And it doesn't mean that to identify that soul as we focus this care and cure. He's saying that soul is the most common translation in the Hebrew word, and he calls it nephesh. And the Greek word, when you use it in the Greek term, he calls it the psyche. Nephesh and the psyche. Okay, so many scholars, many biblical scholars suggest that rather than using those terms, that you should just use person or self. We're talking about the person or the self. So the soul is not a part of a person, but it is his or her total self. The soul is not a part of a person, but it is his or her total self. And he goes on to say that we do not have a soul. We are soul. Now, you can argue that if you choose, but I'm only going by what the author is saying, David Benner is saying, and he has a book out, and it's called Pastoral Counseling. So if you want to go back and look at that model that he's talking about, you can go back in Strategic Pastoral Counseling, and the author is David Benner. So that's where I am. I'm coming from. I'm speaking on what he is sharing through his writings, and he says again, a human being is living, and it is a vital whole. It's a vital whole. Soul therefore refers to the whole person, including the body, but with particular focus on the inner world of thinking, feeling, and willing. Thinking, feeling, and willing. So care of souls even has to be understood as a support and a restoration of the well-being of the person that you're looking at. It's the support and the restoration of the well-being of the person. It's a part of his or her death in totality. And it particularly concerns one's inner life. It's not the outer, it's the inner life of that person. And Benner goes on to say that caring of souls is caring for people in a way that not only acknowledges them as persons, but also it engages them to address in the deepest and the most profound human aspect of their lives. So you're pulling them away from whatever they're going through, and you're having them focus, or you're reaching a deeper part of that person. And he says, this is the reason why the priority of the spiritual and the psychological aspect of the persons in a world is what he calls soul care. It's the priority of the spiritual and the psychological aspect of the person's soul care. So when I look at that, it's not addressing just what they're going through emotionally, but also bringing them into the psychological aspect of their thinking. I remember when I used to be in martial arts, and one of the things they said martial arts was when the mind and the body comes together as one, then you understand martial arts. But as long as it's divided, if you're thinking one way and your body is not in alignment with your thinking, then you're only half. You've only reached half the person. But when that thinking, you think that you can do it, and physically you can do it, then it's saying that you, in martial arts, you're focusing as a whole. So when I was reading and going through this, I was thinking about that, and that's in the Japanese terms of Okinawa Kempo. That's the focus of that. The mind and the body must become one. So Brenner, he talks about the aspect of life that is the most it's the most difficult or distinctive of a human. And he talks about, he says, genuine soul care is never exclusively, remember we talked about, genuine soul care is never exclusively focused on any one aspect of a person's being. Genuine, and we know what genuine is when he looks at that. We know what genuine is. Genuine soul care is when you are focusing on you're not just focusing on one part. You're giving the all. It's the all you're focusing on. That's genuine. When someone is genuine, inside, they are just totally a genuine person. Inside. Genuine. They're sincere through in and throughout. It's not one part is one way and the other part is another. They're genuine fully through in and throughout. So when he goes on, and Brenner talks about that, he talks about the nature and the growth. And he goes on to say that it must be more people, it says, but we must engage two or more people with one another to the end of the nature and the growth of the whole person. It must not address not one part, but focus on if you don't focus on one part, focus on the whole person, not just one part of the person, but the whole. And he's saying that that's the genuine part of soul care. Now I'm going to open up the mics and I like to engage you as we go through this. For those of you that just came on. The topic is Christian soul care. And I'm looking at strategics of pastoral counseling, and it's talking about the person. This is his model, and I wanted to just bring it to you. You know, Lord just placed it on my heart, so I just, more so just wanted to introduce it or share it with you. Some of you probably are already familiar with this model, but are there any comments in reference to this? Amen. As we continue on, Brenner over the course of a long history, he's saying that Christian soul care has the life and the mission has been the life and the mission of the church. So he's saying that Christian has varied expressions. Over the course of history, Christian soul care has a varied expression, but has always been central part of the life and the mission of the church, meaning that when one comes to church, they are coming to for when you're looking at the soul, when you're looking at whatever they're going through, it's a healing as a whole, not just one part, but healing as a whole. Any comments out there? I'm pretty sure we have some counselors out there that make that might want to comment on that on his model. Amen. The mics are open.
I would like to say that that is very interesting, and I like it because when Adam became a living soul,
right.
He was already a soul in the dust. But before God breathed into him, everything was there but the spirit. That's why they say absent from the body, present from the Lord, present with the Lord. Because God takes that last breath. What he breathed into you, but you are a living soul. Your soul. That's why the word can separate the soul and the spirit. You know, what is it? Hebrews 4:12. It says it's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing it. Because the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, which we have inside of us. The soul, people don't realize this. The soul and the body are one. And it's the two-edged sword that separates them.
It separates it. Amen. That's a good point. Good point. Any more comments? Thank you so much. You always bring an interesting perspective. Thank you so much. Any more comments?
Support, restoration.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So as we continue, I'm going to get back into, as we continue this, he goes on to saying that when he begins reviewing history, he notes that such care has involved guiding, such care has invited in the history has involved guiding healing. There are four primary elements: healing, sustaining, reconciling, and impairment. And all of these four move toward wholeness. Such care has involved four elements: healing, sustaining, reconciling, and guiding. And he goes to break this down. He says healing involves efforts to help someone overcome an impairment and move toward wholeness. That's when we're healing someone, that's when we're helping them move toward wholeness. If they are healed, that means they are not healed of that particular, they're healed totally. And that's what he's saying that healing is. And he goes on to say that these efforts can involve physical healing as well as spiritual healing. But the focus is always, we write back to it again, the total person. The focus is always the total person. And when he talks about the total person, he's talking about whole and holy. Whole and holy. Amen? Sustaining, it refers to acts of caring designed to help a hurting person endure and transcend a circumstance in which restoration or recuperation is either impossible or improbable. Sustaining. I'm going to repeat that again. It always focuses on the total person. Sustaining refers to acts of caring. It is designed to help a hurting person endure and transcend a circumstance in which restoration or recuperation is either impossible or improbable. That is sustaining. Reconciling, the third, refers to an effort to reestablish broken relationships. Reconciling refers to efforts to reestablish broken relationships. So the presence of this component of care demonstrates the command, not simply an individual, it's not simply the individual nature of the Christian soul. It's not just that, he's saying. The presence of the component of care demonstrates the command, not simply individual nature of Christian soul care. And then you have the fourth. He says that it's guiding. It's guiding. Guiding refers to helping a person to make wise choices and thereby grow in spiritual maturity or maturity. That's the guiding part of it. So when one is looking at working or helping a person, there's the four principles, and it's healing, sustaining, guiding, and all of these four are helping.
Healing, sustaining, and
healing, sustaining, reconciling, and guiding.
Reconcile.
Does everybody have that? Do you have that? Is that making sense? Okay.
Yes.
So what he's saying is that all of these are components to help the person, help the person where you're getting to help them as a whole. We're looking at trying not just one part of what the problem is, but helping them to overcome and become whole. Become whole. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So, and it goes on, he says, Christians seeking to care for souls and others, and he's talking about different people that seek care of the souls. They may be counselors. That may be the preached sermon. That may be written books, letters. Even people going to visit other people. And when you say when you go and visit other people, you are developing, helping them to develop as a whole, just by them seeing you. Just by you seeing, but them seeing you. That is a part of it also. So he's saying that these are different people that also deal with healing when you're in a hospital, going to visit someone. Sometimes I do know that oftentimes people do not like, individuals do not like to go visit someone who may be sick because they don't know what to say or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes just sitting quietly.
Amen.
Sometimes just sitting quietly can be a powerful act of healing. Sitting quietly, not saying anything. Listening. Without talking. Listening. Hearing them share their stories, and not saying a word can be a powerful part of that as well. Any comments?
I like that because when you're visiting people, their spirits are already low, and being in a so to speak isolated place, when your presence comes in, it brings hope. And like you said, just sitting there generates life that, I'm not dead, or I'm not, I'm in a situation right now, But just seeing this person, them just being here, gives me a different perspective that there is life. There is
Amen.
Hope. There is, you know,
Amen.
a sense of peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
knowing that
mm-hmm.
someone cares enough for me to even see me or come
mm-hmm.
and just be. We don't really realize how powerful just our presence is in a place
Amen.
Without even saying anything. We walk in
mm-hmm.
with life, you know.
Amen.
We walk in, especially when you have the life of Christ within you. You walk in with life.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
That life generates through you, and it fills the atmosphere with a
mm-hmm.
hope that, like God Amen. Says in his word, I know the thoughts that I have of you,
mm-hmm.
thoughts of good and not evil, to give you
mm-hmm.
an expected end, a hope,
mm-hmm.
and a future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I
Amen.
Thank God for that. When you were talking before about how when you did martial arts and how the thinking, putting both those elements together, the thinking with the body. You know,
mm-hmm.
Martial arts got it from the Bible, because as a man thinketh, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
So if I feel
so
like I can go through that wall, if I think it can
mm-hmm.
be, it shall be. Because God says that as we think, we can rise above whatever.
Amen.
So I like that. You know, every philosophy, and it all generates from our word of God. God gives
Amen.
It, and they put a twist
Amen.
On it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah,
Amen.
God,
praise
God
the Lord.
Is good.
Praise the Lord.
We see God in
Amen.
Everything.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. In everything.
Yeah.
Amen.
In everything.
Amen. Amen.
But this is interesting.
Amen.
Like Elder Sharon said, this is a very interesting
mm-hmm.
topic. I got in here late,
yeah.
but you know what? I'm glad
mm-hmm.
I'm in the midst. Go ahead, Elder
yeah.
Clay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Elder
this,
Clay.
This, you know, this is, this, you know, I just thought about this, you know, because of, you know, what we go through and understanding that, you know, that when we go through, whatever we go through, there are stages, you know, there are
mm-hmm.
stages. That's why, you know, there are counselors, you know, there are counselors, there's pastoral counselors, there's so many different counselors. And, you know, but he's
mm-hmm.
looking, you know, he's looking at in terms of the part of the church,
mm-hmm.
the church
Amen.
As a healing,
mm-hmm.
but the
yeah.
church as
mm-hmm.
as helping someone to become whole. And that's
mm-hmm.
what he's referring
mm-hmm.
to here. You
mm-hmm.
know, he talks about
Amen.
four spiritual things, four things within it. And he says pastoral counseling, spiritual direction, pastoral care, pastoral ministry, and even Christian friendship. And all of that,
mm-hmm.
all of those components help develop a person or help a person healing and become whole.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
saying all of these come together. And, and he goes on to say it's at least five forms of soul care should be a part of the life of every Christian church.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, Christian friendship, these are the components that should be a part of every Christian church. Christian friendship, pastoral ministry, pastoral care,
mm-hmm.
pastoral counseling, and spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that he even goes on to say that the foundation of Christian care is its least specialized form. And he talks about, he says, the friendship offered by one Christian to another, we're talking about friendship, for one Christian to another friend,
mm-hmm.
and he said, do not think of themselves as offering soul care when they call one another. Most people don't think of that, when they call another one for support or encouragement, or simply to maintain contact. They don't look at that as offering soul care, and he's saying that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes people call just to see how someone's doing, and he calls that soul care.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's calling as a friend just to check on someone.
Mm-hmm.
that's a part of the healing, and that's a part of soul care.
Amen. And it's amazing how we even overlook that as a body of believers in the church. We overlook it. We overlook it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we got, I don't know. God help us.
He says, friends who understand the high ideals of Christian companionship offer one another the most important forms of Christian soul care.
Mm-hmm.
Going to check on someone. Calling
mm-hmm.
someone to see if they're okay.
Amen.
And sometimes we forget about that. I can't tell you how many times that someone has been sick and they said no one ever called.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so true.
No one ever called to check on me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what he's saying here is how vital it is that when we call and check on someone else, just to see how they are doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just to see how they are doing.
It's
7:40 p.m. So, you know, as we move on, and he talks about that, and he's saying that how important that Christian friendship is, how important it is. You know how we talk about fellowshipping with one another?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But he's talking about that being also not just as part of the church, but it's also a part of healing.
Amen.
Healing to make someone whole.
Yes.
I do know that if someone called to check on me, I know it would make me feel a whole lot better.
Amen.
Amen.
Emotionally.
Amen.
Mentally. You know, it goes across the board in terms of what you can do when you call and you check on someone. Christian
mm-hmm.
friendship
yeah.
is both important. It is
yeah.
important. And it is a source in God.
Mm-hmm.
Christian love. It's a source in God. Love one another.
So
check and see about
mm-hmm.
one another. That's a source in God. And that is a powerful
yeah.
part of healing. It's a powerful part of Christian soul care.
Mm-hmm.
Checking on someone.
Yeah.
He's saying that that is the very heart and the nature of God.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
It's an external change, he says. It's the companionship that binds. Now, listen to this. He's saying it's eternal exchange. It's an external change that's going on of compassion, companionship. And what he says is, what it does is it binds the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to one another, and it extends to those Jesus called to be followers and friends.
Mm. Amen.
I thought that was pretty deep. You know, when you're talking about it in terms of it binds the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we're checking on someone, when we're calling on someone, Christian friendship is how we're supposed to be. And what it does is it binds us together. It binds
mm-hmm.
us together as the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It binds
Amen.
Us together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any comments?
I have
yeah,
Pastor Robert.
Ellen, I just wanted to say that, you know, a lot of times we use the excuse of, I didn't want to bother you, or I know you weren't feeling good, or just to make up excuses,
mm-hmm.
not to call
why
and check on
them. Why they didn't do it. Mm-hmm.
Or why they didn't
mm-hmm.
do it, you know, and that's self-guilt, you know,
mm-hmm.
Not calling and check on someone. And I do apologize when I'm late calling in. I'm not feeling too good myself, and I was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, you're always timely. You're always on time.
Always on
always.
Time.
Always on time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you hear the love out there.
It's good to hear you, sir.
Amen.
It's good to hear you.
It's good that I hear you. I tuned in to hear this because you don't know how it makes me feel when you call and check on me. Sometimes I miss your call because I'm at work, but I know that you call. If I see that call, I got your number and it's Elder John Clay. When I see that and I miss that call, I say, man, he is, you know, he's thinking about me. He's checking on me. So sometimes I get a chance to return the call, and then sometimes I won't get a chance to return the call. But over the air, I want to say to you right now, man, I appreciate that. You know,
thank
I really appreciate that.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
And we thank God.
Amen.
We thank God for you also. We thank God for you.
Amen.
And you know what? There's nothing more powerful, you know, and I know you got, you know, those, you know, in your area praying, but there's nothing more powerful when you got people around the world praying.
Around the world. I talk about, I know your ears be burning because I talk about you all the time, so.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know what? We talk about you, too.
Yes, we do.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes,
I mean, the airwaves was asking, where is he at?
So is your ears burning down?
Master, but love for you.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah,
yes,
I just keep being praying because I'm I know it's the work of the enemy, but I just started a new job, and now I've come down and got sick again, and I've been sick more in the last year than I've ever been sick in my life. But,
yes, sir.
You know,
yes,
we're good, though. We still do what we got to do.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Well, we know what to pray for. We know what to, you know,
yeah.
It's always good.
Amen.
We, you know, we know what to pray for. That's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We lift you up in prayer and whatever the circumstances may be, you know, that God is an overcomer. God is an overcomer.
Yeah.
It doesn't make a difference what the obstacles may look like. How we see it is one way, but how God sees it is something totally different.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And another thing, Elder Clay, is a lot of people don't know, and what I had developed in our church before I stepped out, what I had developed was a phone ministry. And I had people who was calling to check on people, and sometimes people don't understand that's a ministry, you know.
Yes, sir.
That's a ministry when you just take it up on yourself to say, Pastor, I can't do a whole lot, you know. My physical well being is down, you know, but I know how to pick up the phone, so I was thinking up on myself to call and check on people. And then report back to you of how they're doing and what they're doing, and pray for them. You know, that's a ministry.
Yes.
That's an awesome ministry.
Amen. Amen. You know, and it's ironic that you talk about that because that's what we were just talking about.
Yeah, the whole.
So we're talking about calling and checking on
others,
and how that is a ministry. As a ministry, and Pastor, you know, just I was going through. I was really going through some information. I don't know if you're familiar with David Benner, and he has a book out. It's called Strategic Pastoral Counseling, and it's a short-term structured model that he's talking about. So I was more so going over his model. You know, the Lord had placed him. There was someone else who was supposed to have been speaking, so I stepped in, and the Lord placed it on my heart to come with this, to share this in terms of a model of how we care for one another, how we care for one another. And sometimes, you know, we're focusing on one area, and what Brenner is saying is that we are to focus on the whole and not just one particular part of the person.
That's right.
So we're focusing
on
the whole. And so I was more so just breaking that model down, and we was getting to the point of where he called, and he calls it Christian friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we call and check on one another, check on someone else, and how that is a part of soul caring. That's a part of soul caring. Just being, you know, and you talk about that ministry that you have, just calling to check on someone and what it does. You know, so all you're just doing is validating, you know, what he's saying and how invaluable it is in the church.
Amen. Amen.
It is very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times people, and I was saying earlier, too many times I've heard people say, you know, I was sick and no one called to check on me.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot.
So, you know, that is a vital part of, you know, of the ministry, of the Christian ministry. You know, so that's yes, sir.
I was going to say that I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was going to say that if we're any kind of Christian, then we won't let that hinder us. You know, we won't let it. We won't let that bother us when we're trying to call and check on somebody. We won't try to make up excuses of why we didn't call, because
right.
the only thing, only reason you didn't call is because you didn't call. You know.
Yeah.
And I think it is, and I like what you're saying, Elder Clay, because it is very vital that we call and check on one another. If we call ourselves Christians and we say we love you and we care for you, at least in this day and age, we can at least send a text message. If you got the phone number, you can at least send a text message and let somebody know how much you are praying for them or how much you love them. And that just, as I was saying earlier about you, I mean, it just, it makes me feel needed, wanted, appreciated, I just go ahead, man. I just, I'm glad I horned in on this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was, as again, you know, you're always timely, you know, because you got in and you start talking about your telephone ministry at church, and that's just what we were talking about. It was right on time.
That's good.
That's just how God works. That's just how God works. You know, so, you know, I thank you for, you know, those words, you know, because all it did was just validate what we were talking about, the importance of it. See, there's so many people who are listening, and sometimes they say, well, I just, you know, I don't want to call them because I don't want to bother them. You know, and that's why I brought it up. Brenner is saying that's what binds. The Father, the Son, and the Holy, where two or three are calling and checking, it binds the Spirit of Christ.
Yeah. Amen.
I never heard it in that manner. You know, when he uses it, he says he says the external exchange of companionship is what binds the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to one another and extends to those Jesus calls to be followers and friends. It extends to those who are called followers and friends. And he goes on and he says, it is the friendship that Jesus asked us to show to one another. And then it says, if you go to 1 John 4:7, it speaks for itself. It speaks for itself. 1 John. And it says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
One another. Amen.
One another. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen.
And that's loving one another. When we call and check on their well-being, when we do that, then we're doing just what Christ has said that we're supposed to do. That's a part of soul caring. That's a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I do thank you so much. You know, again, we are always so happy to hear you. We thank God, you know, that you're up, and when I hear you, you know, you're working, you know, and you're getting around, and you're getting, I mean, that just blesses, you know, it blesses me, you know, I'm sure it blesses everyone else also to hear that you're up and you're about.
Amen, amen.
You know, and that just validates, you know, the type of God that we serve.
Amen.
The type of God that we serve. God is a loving God.
Yeah.
He's a loving God. So, you know, I do thank you for, you know, for those confirming words, you know, and we need to hear things like that. We need to hear victory reports. We need to hear that. We have, you know, and we forget so often, and I'm saying we as the body of Christ, we forget so often that God is always on the job.
He's always.
And we have to give victory reports to show what God is doing. And when he's doing something that we don't understand, God is still working. We don't know why he's working that direction, but we know that he is working for a reason that we just didn't understand.
Amen to that. Amen. Yeah.
Because he's always healing and sustaining and reconciling and guiding us into all truth, into wholeness,
amen,
into completeness. You know?
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let me,
I like that. Healing, sustaining, reconciling. Yes. He revives us and restores us.
This might be a little bit off the subject, but it talks about how God works and how he, as Minister Mahan said, how he restores and revives and reconciles. When I started this new job, I think I was on the job about 3 days maybe, and word got around that I was a preacher. And, man, I tell you, man, you wouldn't believe the joy. It seemed like to me the joy that people would come around, all
Amen.
The guys on the shop floor would come around and say, man, I heard you was a preacher, man. I heard you was a pastor. Yeah, I am. And then, boy, the conversation would just start. And, you know,
oh, hallelujah.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing. And I think that God has put me in a spot.
Yes, say that.
Just what I was
waiting for that. Yep. Enlarging your borders. Enlarging your borders. They have.
I really believe that he has done that.
Yes.
The marketplace. Yes. Pastor, we talked about that marketplace. It's huge.
Yes, sir. You did. Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
It's huge. It is.
Isn't it amazing? It's amazing to me how no longer you step down out of the church, not the church, but from your position. But pastor, you are a pastor. You have a heart of a pastor. And where you are, they are drawn to you because of the light that you carry. You'll always, you know what? You're the closest thing to heaven. When you step in,
hallelujah.
When you step in,
hallelujah,
they feel like, oh, it's going to be all right because the pastor is here. I can go to him.
Yes.
Get the healing that I need if I'm broken. I can go to him, get the wisdom to sustain me. I can go to him for that reconciliation and the guidance, all rolled up into Pastor Paul Robinson.
Amen.
And you know
Amen.
What? The place where you're at is better for it. God knows even the topic that Elder John has given us tonight. Someone else was supposed to be online. But you know what? This was perfectly divinely designed.
It was
and
perfect.
It was for us to hear it, for us to even think about what was said,
hallelujah,
because I know I am. And it empowers us even the more to do as Christ
hallelujah.
Does.
Sing
about
hallelujah.
Our brothers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Boy,
oh my God.
I tell you,
makes me
feel like dancing.
My God,
so that
was a good topic. Good topic, Elder.
Yes.
God bless you,
Pastor,
Robinson.
Yes, God bless you, Pastor Robinson.
Sir.
Pastor Robinson, I'd like to close
yes,
out. Can you handle closing out in prayer, or do you want me to do that?
Amen.
I can. I can close us out in prayer.
Close us out, Pastor.
Yes, sir. And I want to say also, you didn't step down. God just shifted you.
Oh, I like that. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, man, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this evening, Lord God, on this talk show, God, to give you thanks, to give you praise, and to give you glory, Lord. Father God, we thank you for every word that was spoken tonight, God, and let us always remember, God, that visitation and farm ministry and checking on someone is what you call us to do, God. So, Father God, I pray tonight, God, for everyone on this line and everyone on the radio and everyone on the internet. And, Father, I ask that you would touch their hearts, that they may fulfill one of those ministries, God, that you're calling them into, Father. Don't let them have excuses. Don't let them make excuses, God. Just give them, God, the gifts they need to do your will and your work. Father God, I thank you, God, for each and every one that was on tonight. Thank you for their prayers and thank you for their love, God. And, God, we just thank you so much for being who you are. Thank you, God, for sitting high and looking alone. And we give you praise, we give you glory. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus called the Christ. And it's for his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Remember, God be the glory.
God be the glory.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you all so
God
much.
Bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Robinson.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.